Psalm 47:2. He is the great King God, the great King over all of the earth. Psalm 47:7. For God is the King over all of the earth. Verse 8. God reigns over the nations. He has the authority. History is His story. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his series, The Good Book, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans today, with the message entitled, Does Submission Have a Limit? Now, Pastor.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 13 and doing an in-depth study. We're only going to cover seven verses this morning, but I would like for you to read, or let me read to you, verse 1 of chapter 13. It says, let every soul, every person, be subject to the governing or the civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Boy, that is a big, big statement, isn't it? And a huge, huge scripture. Remember, we left off last time, and this morning as we've gathered, we know from chapter 12, for example, that we have presented ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. We want to do that. We offer ourselves. It's our reasonable service and our reasonable worship. And we're not the church. We're not a church that's being conformed to this world. We're a church that's being transformed, amen, by the renewing of our minds to the Word of God. This is not a church that is inactive in the body of Christ here. We are a church that are very active, serving one another, helping wherever it's needed. And the reason is because a transformed life always results in transformed living. Now, we left off in verse 9 through 21 of chapter 12 about the Christian's walk of love in this world, this fallen world that we live in. And we discovered those things that this love clings to in this world. We cling to what is good, and we discovered that last Sunday. This morning, on these seven verses that are going to challenge you, they always challenge me, no matter how many times I've taught them. But when we look at these seven verses, you cannot look at them from an American mindset. You have to look at these verses with a renewed mind to the Word of God, or you're going to be confused. Amen? Because, see, we live in a nation of freedom. Or I should say freedoms that are left, okay? And I thank God for that. But, you know, when we start thinking about authorities and so forth, I mean, if we mention George Washington, we're going to say he's a great man and thank God for the revolution. You know what I mean? Or we think of Patrick Henry and so forth. But if you think of the guy over Kim Jong whatever, hoo-ha-ha, over in North Korea, the Rocket Man, you know? You watch the news? Okay. You know, the missiles, okay? Well, listen, are you going to say that he's God's instrument? How would you like to live under that regime? So we're talking about government this morning. We're talking about the Christian's responsibility to government wherever Christians are in this entire world. Now, this morning, it's very important for us to grasp this. Does submission, speaking of believers, not the unbeliever, but believers, does submission to government, does it have a limit? Very important for us to understand that. In other words, are we to obey the law of the land, no matter where we live, under what government we live in, obey it no matter what? Well, we could probably not even teach this morning then, right? Let's look at chapter 13, verse 1. You ready? It says, let every soul, let every person on this planet, it says, be subject. That word means to put yourself under the authority of another. And who is that going to be? Subject to the governing or the civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist on this planet, the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Christians are all over the world. They live in every part of the world. Some, as fortunate as we are, we live under a great democracy. Amen? Thank God for that. But there are some Christians, of course, they live under communism, they live under socialism, they live under wicked, evil, demonic tyrants. I have no trouble wiping out people like Saddam Hussein when he was alive, when he gassed the Kurds. Horrible, horrible wickedness. Now, as Christians, are we to be good citizens, whether we live in America, North Korea, Syria, China, Russia? Are we to be good citizens? Okay. Well, you know, China and, of course, North Korea didn't exist 2,000 years ago. So we have to look at this historically of what Paul was under. And I want you to notice here that Paul didn't say that we're to oppose bad governments, and be obedient to good governments. He didn't say that. Matter of fact, if you'll study it carefully, Paul isn't even telling us or defining what type of government he is speaking of. Now, if we look at it in our lifetime, some of you weren't born during World War II, or you might have been born then, but you remember what happened with many of the churches during the war in Nazi Germany. And that when Hitler came to power, I think I preached this in a sermon a couple of years ago, when Hitler came to power, remember what he did in the schools? First thing he did was he removed prayer from every school. He removed the crucifix, if you will, from every wall in every school. He banned nativity scenes. He banned the singing of any Christmas carols. He actually changed, in 1938, he changed Christmas. Instead of calling it Christmas, Christ Mass, he called it what? Yuletime or Yuletide, which means the winter festival. And not only that, he changed Easter, Resurrection Sunday, to like a spring festival. Now, we know that we would never let anything like that happen in our nation. Amen? Does that sound familiar? Are we up in arms over some of those things? Okay, now listen, talking about government. Look at it again, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, and he tells us why. For there is no authority anywhere on this planet, okay? There is no authority except from God, and the governments and the civil governments and the authorities, the higher authorities that exist, it says, are appointed by whom? Is that a tough one to swallow? What is that really telling us? Number one, it tells us this, that the origin of human government comes straight from God. It's in the mind of God. And he did that for the regulation, no doubt, of human affairs upon this planet. So human government, believe it or not, is a divine institution that God has set up to help mankind upon this earth, okay? But the problem is, anytime you give anything or God gives anything to fallen man, what does he do? He messes it up, amen? But that doesn't mean that the government that God is speaking about here is not divine. It is divine because it comes from God. All of us, we are Americans, or we moved from another country to live here. I love America. I am thankful for America. I'm thankful for our Constitution. Amen? Now, you know, if you go back and look at the beginning, you know, people say, you know, America is not a Judeo-Christian country. Well, it is. If you go back, listen to Benjamin Franklin. Whenever there was an issue at the first Constitutional Convention, everything was falling apart. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. It says that Franklin called everyone to pray to God, saying this, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings," meaning the Bible, "that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that, without God's continuing aid, we shall succeed in building a political building no better than the builders of Babel," meaning the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. Now, listen to Thomas Jefferson. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., look at his memorial. On that, these words will be found. He says, God gave us life. God gave us liberty. And he says, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed their only sure basis, meaning God's word, a conviction of the minds of the people that those liberties are a gift from God. We live in a free nation, amen? Now, it's not as free as it used to be. They're enacting laws against, really, us like never before. But with all that being said, how would you like to live in the nation, let's say, of Saudi Arabia? Do you know, I was reading an article by Open Door Ministries. They said that the only nation on earth, the only nation on earth that does not have a church structure or a church building is Saudi Arabia. Think about that. None to be found. If you go over to Saudi Arabia, do they have laws? You better believe it. Can you wear the Star of David in Saudi Arabia? No. Can you wear the crucifix? Can you take your Bible with you? No. Listen, do you know if you were under that government and you converted to Christianity, they have a law that says they can kill you? How would you like to live under that regime? If we were Christians and we were there, would we literally go over there and obey that? What about when our military went over a few years back and the chaplains that went over who were, of course, if you know anything about the military, they wear the cross upon their lapel because they're a chaplain. It was totally forbidden for them to do that in Saudi Arabia. We live in a strange world with strange laws. And if you'll notice, they're always against God. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 1 again. He says again, the reason to obey everyone, these governments, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. He didn't say that there is no authority except America, or ISIS, or China, or Russia. He said the only authority, the only true authority in all of the universe is from God. You remember when Daniel was telling King Nebuchadnezzar, and at that time he was a world ruler, and he told him in Daniel 4:17, he says, listen, he said that the living may know that the Most High God, he rules in the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whomever he will. Think about that. That sounds like authority to me. Amen? We certainly can't do that. How about this one? When Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar about his pride in all of this, and he says, listen, you know, if you're not going to obey the Lord, he said, listen, you're going to be turned into a wild animal. You know, remember that? And he goes out and dew upon his back for 7 years and so forth. He says, you're going to eat grass like a cow or an oxen. Listen to what was said in Daniel 4:27. Daniel said, till you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. Inasmuch as they gave the command, he said that your kingdom will be assured to you, but only after you come to know that heaven rules. Heaven rules. God rules. Man thinks he rules, but he doesn't. Amen? Now, with all that, the Bible tells us in Psalm 62:11, bear with me as I read these scriptures, tells us in Psalm 62:11 that all power, all authority in all the earth and universe belongs to God. Psalm 22:28, it says, God rules over the nations, meaning every nation on earth. Psalm 47:2, it says, he is the great king, God, the great king over all of the earth. Psalm 47:7, for God is the king over all of the earth. Here it comes, verse 8, God reigns over the nations. He has the authority. He's the one that's ruling. History is his story, amen? He knows everything that's happening. He knows every nation that's going to fall. Matter of fact, whenever Pilate, here comes Jesus in John 19, remember, they had scourged him and beaten him, and they put the purple robe upon him and the thorns upon his head, and they bring him out, and Pilate shouts to the people, says to the Jews, he says, behold the man. And Jesus, they brought him out. He's all beaten to pieces. And Pilate says, I find no fault in him. And the Jews started crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate says, I find no fault in him. And the Jew says, we have a law. There it is, that word. We have a law that this man should be put to death because he made himself to be the Son of God. a law, the King of Kings right there in their midst, denying the one who came to love them and to save them. You know, God is the one that rules. And what did Jesus tell Pilate in John 19:10? He said, the Pilate said to Jesus, he says, are you not going to speak to me? Because he didn't say anything. He said, are you not going to talk to me? He says, do you not know, Jesus, that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And listen to what Jesus answered. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. God has the power. God is in authority. Matter of fact, in Matthew 28:18, what did Jesus say? Say, all authority in heaven and upon earth have been given unto me. He is the one who calls the shots. Amen. Now look at verse 2. Therefore, talking about governments now, therefore, whoever resists, that word means to oppose or fight against, the authorities, now listen, they battle or resist the ordinance of God. In other words, Paul says, you know what? You're in rebellion against God if you're not obeying the laws of the land. That's what he's saying here. And he says, and those who resist will bring or literally receive judgment upon themselves. Now, that could speak of God's judgment or the government, the judgment from the government. Now, question, does this mean that our Father, which art in heaven, who loves us, sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us and for all people, does this mean that God, who is love, God, who is light, no darkness in him at all, does this mean that God approves of wicked, horrible, terrible, demonic governments? Does he approve of people like ISIS, or does he approve of ungodly presidents and say, oh no, I want him there? Well, if he put him there, I promise you it's because he's going to bring judgment, okay? But look at the next verse to answer our question. For rulers are not a terror, meaning they're not an object of dread, to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, when you see the red lights behind you, when you're driving, what does it mean to do? Pull over and stop and start weeping. You're gonna get a ticket, okay? Don't cause any problems. Don't pull out your wallet, and when you do, show them clergy sticker. They'll double your fine. You know what I mean? I've tried it all. No. Oh, no. Now look here. Now look at verse 4. Talking about the law, talking about the government. Watch this now. For he, this authority that's in place, for he is God's what? Servant or minister. The word in Greek is diakonos. We get our word deacon. He's God's servant. For what? To do to you for what? For good. But if you do evil, will you be afraid? For he does not bear the sword. The sword, speaking of an instrument of death. He doesn't bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, God's servant, an avenger to execute wrath upon him who practices evil. Now listen, did you catch this? This is a great verse. What is Paul saying? He's saying that God appointed what? Yes, human governments. But human governments are to do good to people, not evil to people. Amen? They're not to take, they're to protect people and to help them in this life. They're certainly not to take little children who are Christians and crucify them or bury them alive like ISIS has done. Or take the little children, the little girls, and sell them into the sex slave industry. No, that's not a good government. That is a demonic, wicked, locust government that devours people's lives. Now, with all that being said, the civil servant, whether he is a believer or unbeliever, is supposed to be God's servant. Everyone in Congress, everyone in the Senate, everyone, the Speaker of the House, all the Chief Justices, all the Supreme Court, all the people that serve in the firemen and police officers and mayors and all the rest of it, they are supposed to be God's servants to the people, whether they're saved or not saved. And I fear, and I know I'm right, that our country has completely forgotten that. And matter of fact, not only that, the whole world has forgotten that. You know, there wasn't a democracy when Paul wrote this, penned this by the Holy Spirit. Nero was the one ruling in Rome. Now listen, with all that being said, what are these servants of God supposed to do? It says that they do not bear the sword in vain. And again, the sword is speaking of capital punishment, if you will. Taking a life of someone, which is a horrible thing to talk about, but it's the truth. So listen carefully. It wasn't man who passed a law and said, well, we're going to have capital punishment. Man didn't pass that law. God came up with that law. Do you remember when? All the way back in the time of Noah, Genesis 9:6, when God told Noah there in the new world, he said, listen, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. I want to ask you a question. That was a long time ago. Have the hearts of people improved since then? You mean there's still kinds of heart that it was back then and today? Nothing has changed through all the centuries? You mean we're not a better people? No, the heart is wicked. Nothing has changed at all. Bear the sword. That's what God says to do. He's the one who said to do that. You know, we live in a nation today. It's a violent nation, if you will. It's certainly not as peaceful as when I was a young person. But I will say this, that I believe if the Lord tarries 10 years or less, okay, I believe that capital punishment will no longer exist in America. And the reason I say that is because 19 out of the 50 states, they have all already abolished God's law, and that meaning the death penalty. If you take a life, your life would be given for it. Now, with all that being said, we live today, I love America, but we live in a violent society, don't we? Back then, in Paul's day, what did the Romans do for entertainment? They'd go to the Colosseum and watch Christians be eaten by lions or gladiators kill them or what. You know what I'm saying. That was their sport. What do we do? Well, we turn on the TV and watch those. I don't, but you probably do. No. You know. And watch those movies, you know, the killer movies and so forth, you know, and shooting everybody. Or you could just watch the news and get that part. Isn't that the truth? And then you look at our youth. You know, the average teenager spends 13 hours a week in America playing video games. And a lot of adults, too. And a lot of those video games are about killing people and blowing up people. Are you with me? You hear me? Yeah. Listen, the Bible tells us something about the last days. Not only is it going to be perilous times, as Paul told Timothy, but Jesus our Lord, what did he tell us in Matthew 24:12? He said that lawlessness, that means a despising of any law, lawlessness is sin. Lawlessness will increase or literally abound in the last days, Jesus said. Matthew 24:12, and the love of many will wax cold, meaning the love of people in the church. You know, lawlessness is everywhere. I watched a thing on the news last night. I could not believe it. This woman and her child pulled up to a red light in broad daylight, and a car pulled up beside them, pulled out one of those like a submachine gun or something, and started firing. But it wasn't at them. It was a gang war against the people across the street. I mean, I was going, no wonder everybody in Texas wants to have two guns. You know what I mean? We're armed to the hilt because you don't know what's going on. And you know, the more a nation, the deeper, farther away, whatever you want to call it, further, whatever the word is, away a nation, America, or any nation in the world, they get away from God. They get away from the Word of God. You know what happens? Lawlessness increases. We're known here as the Bible Belt. I don't know how true that is anymore, but let me ask you a question. How many of you remember here in the church, how many would you ever think that one day we would have to have background checks in the church? Hello. I mean, that was like, you know, every church now, you better be doing that. You know, how many churches a few years back, did you ever think that we'd have to have someone in a golf cart with a radio patrolling while the services are going on? So people, number one, won't break into your car and steal from you. And at the same time, that if there's anyone out there that may try to cause us harm, we have a heads up. Amen? Not last Wednesday night when Steve was up there, did a great job with the missions. That was a great, that's another story. But there in the parking lot, the report was somebody out there with a golf club, swinging that golf club, walking through there. And you know, I think he said, where's the pastor? No. Now, I lock myself up. I'm a sissy. And I don't play golf. We had to get the guy off the property.
Well, we are out of time for today, but no worries. Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks, as always, for the privilege of your time. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.